This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's coming up to 5:45, and on Today on Twitter, how not to support a small food business.
Yes. So this comes from a tweet by Faizit Zahar, who basically says it's a sort of call out to influencers. And they say to influencers, if you plan to make a restaurant go viral, think and ask the owner how long they've been doing business first. There was a really great kway teow stall that has been operating in Ipoh for decades. After going viral, that auntie that cooked the kway teow can no longer handle the amount of customers. Such a pity. And then they go on to point out that the stall actually didn't need to go viral. It already had many customers. And since it became a sensation on social media, it's been attracting too many people. And the owner of the stall can't manage the same amount of energy as cooking, that she needs to take rests in between. Too many people basically coming up. And so I think it opens up this question of virality, particularly when it comes to food recommendations and whether they're really always the best thing.
J-Fi is the person who always comes to mind for me. The crab omelette in Bangkok that received a Michelin star and subsequently gave it back because she basically said that she didn't like, right, the exposure and attention that the Michelin star brought. And the customers, in fact, were more than she could handle. And I think that is something that we see over and over again. And also, aside from the fact that you might only be able to take in a certain amount of customers, and that when you go viral and people go and say, oh, well, the food was slow or the quality was not what I expected, that also brings you unnecessary negative publicity, right? That you might not have experienced if in the first place you hadn't gone viral. But the other part of it, I think, is also what happens when there is an artificial bump in your business, because going viral, especially when it comes to food, especially with the amount of food influencers out and about shooting videos, making videos, I think, you know, it could change from week to week. You could be a flash in the pan, ha ha ha, so to speak. And so because of that, I'm not sure how businesses adjust, right? Whether you hire more people that you then later might have to let go, whether you adjust your supply because you think that there's going to be higher demand and then that doesn't last very long. There are so many issues related to this that, man, it's a lot to unpack.
There are a number of things that can happen, right? One is, as the tweet points out, the person themselves become unable to commit the kind of quality and work that they used to do to the stall on a purely selfish level, as well as a customer perhaps of some stall or store that restaurant that I've been going to. Suddenly you have to contend with long lines that you never had to anticipate before. It becomes really difficult to get a place. But over the weekend, I also saw someone post a particular comment online, which struck me as interesting as well. And they talked about the expectation that going viral sets, and how, a place that has great food, that's a small-time business, suddenly starts attracting hundreds of people who come in and then start reviewing it online. And the mismatch between this is the best, whatever, whatever, ever, and it being a neighborhood place, and often becomes counterintuitive. And then the place kind of gets called out for not living up to expectations. So I think the virality can be a double-edged sword. And that's really what a lot of the tweets are addressing as well. So Sedi, who's of course the really popular food blogger, says, he tweeted, noted, actually good points, because there's some secret places that I die won't promote because I want to eat in peace, or they really don't have enough manpower.
Meanwhile, Adlan says, pros and cons of going viral. Not all businesses can be on standby if they need extra manpower to maintain good production. In this context, the cooking isn't fast food style. If I were to give advice to any business, it is to do this exercise. Ask yourself, if my business goes viral, number one, what is the first thing I should do? Number two, where else can I source my materials? Number three, how to produce faster and maintain quality?
Yeah, because, those are all really good questions to ask yourself, right? Can you upscale in that short amount of time? Ami Fikri says the same thing. That's right. I have a friend doing a coffee business. He doesn't want his business to go viral because he's only targeting customers from the kampung. If the business goes viral and they receive too many orders, the coffee machine will overheat, just like humans.
Yeah, and that's what we're saying, right, about this issue of kampong or neighborhood, some places are hidden gems because they really open only to serve a specific community, and that is fine. But I think, you know, when you experience a particularly good, I don't know, cup of coffee or a plate of noodles, that desire to say, hey, everybody needs to find out, and the belief that it's automatically good for business, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily the way. Shaz says, that's why I don't promote my mom's Laksa Johor to my influencer contacts. I promote on my own social media. I appreciate any type of shout outs, but I'm still wary. I'm scared that most won't understand that it's made to order.
Firstly, I love the idea of promoting your mom's Laksa Johor just on a one-on-one basis. Finally, Alwyn says, some restaurants I've seen will close no matter what time of the day by announcing that they can only cater to X amount of servings. That's a good operating system. I don't support these viral stuff, but customers means money. And business owners can always say no when there's overcapacity.
That's yes, but then that also rubs some people the wrong way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course, right? If you show up and the place is closed, and then you're probably going to write a review talking about how they weren't open.
They weren't open. They think they're so great because they went viral. it's a problem. And finally, we have Faisal who says, can the vlogger be professional and ask the shop owner, sir, madam, the food is very tasty. Can I include it in my content? And I think that's good practice in general. I think if you're going to be photographing people and, you know, kind of going around and taking videos and swooping here and there, it's very much worth actually saying, hey, I'm going to be making a video. Sorry if I'm in your way. However, even that doesn't actually encompass, because it's not the same thing as I'm a very popular vlogger, and once I put this up, you should expect a surge in business. So I think there is still an added dimension to that. Anyway, we're talking today about how going viral may not actually be the best thing to happen to small food businesses. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you share your true food faves, particularly on social media? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:53 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. On today on Twitter, we're discussing why going viral is not necessarily the best thing for a small food business, because it can lead to people being overloaded, it can lead to then bad reviews, all these different things coming into play. So we've been asking you whether, what are your thoughts, but also do you share your actual food favorites on social media or elsewhere? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So on the subject of food, let's start off with this from Kenny.
So Kenny says, the quality of food depends on the business owners and not content makers. If business owners consented to being viral, it falls upon them to maintain quality. If they can't cope, they need to adapt, including turning customers away. And I agree, except that I don't think that in the case of going viral, you've always consented, right? You may not even know that someone who came to your store has a following of thousands and you're being posted. And sometimes I also am not sure many people understand quite what it means even to go viral to that extent.
Yeah, because, actually the comprehending how wide the reach is going to be is important, because it's one thing to say that people who've never heard of you have now heard of you. It's quite another thing, and Malaysians are always willing to travel for food, it's quite another thing to have somebody having driven like 30 kilometers now for your bowl of laksa only to find that it's not up to the standards that they have set in their minds,
or you've sold out.
Exactly. So I think that that is worth bringing up, and also exactly what you said, Sharmila. I don't think most people consent to going viral. I think what they consent to is, yeah, promote my shop. But I mean, you know, out of 15 people who come and take photos and put it up on their Instagrams or, you know, create videos or what have you, how many people are actually going to be the ones that, you know, might actually drive business in that way? So it's really hard to tell. Although, of course, quality does depend on the people who are making the food, of course.
Stephen says, my mum runs a hair salon, but the shop has downscaled after we graduated. She kept the shop running just to serve her loyal customers. And surely, my mum has great skills and she knows the right chemicals for different hair types. I wouldn't want her shop to suddenly become viral one day, because I know that it's difficult for her to get and train workers from scratch. And I wouldn't want my mum to be overworked.
See, that's, I think, exactly it, right? And again, I guess it's also a little bit to do with hustle culture. It's this idea that everybody who is in business wants to go big. Everybody who is in business wants to upscale, get to as many people as possible. And I don't think that's always the case. You know, there's a reason why in all these examples and even in our conversation, we're talking an awful lot about neighborhood places, because I think some businesses are meant to be neighborhood places, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yalla, when it goes viral, then we see the sort of impact. We also have this from Shamil, and I wanted to read this because I 1000% agree. Shamil says, totally unrelated, but I need to get this off my chest. Adding the word viral to your product does not increase your sales or quality suddenly. Enough with the abuse of the word.
I don't know whether when you tell me nasi kandar viral, whether I imagine that it's good to eat or that it's going to make me sick, particularly in the last 2 years.
So I thought the pandemic would have done the work of killing off this phrase. And yet that is absolutely not true. The amount of, you know, you're just driving by and it's like
pisang goreng viral,
pisang goreng viral, yeah. Kelabang shake viral, like anything can be viral. And yet I do think that for many of us, the association with the word is no longer that positive.
Yes, I think of virus and I think of it's going to make me sick. So no.
Let us know what you think about this issue. You know, we're talking about the fact that basically going viral isn't always the best for small food businesses, small businesses in general.
Munif says, at Masjid Jamek Bazaar, there's an incredible Hulk-themed drink stall. What if it became so viral, Kevin Feige finds out? Virality is not all good indeed. Yes, especially when it involves copyright.
Yes, and also when you say incredible Hulk-themed drink stall, I could not tell if you were praising it or just using the proper name.
Also, I know, and I want to know whether the drinks are Incredible Hulk themed or the stall is, i.e. am I getting green drinks that, you know, are in huge cups?
If I had to guess, I would think this is avocado related. If I'm just guessing, that's where I'm going with this. But yes, keep those thoughts coming. Whether going viral is always the best thing for small food businesses or small businesses in general, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.